Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey and Chad here, your host for this weekend's edition. Also your hosts on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, The KE Report. Please go back through our website and podcast, listen to all our daily editorials and company updates, and as always, keep in touch with Chad and I through email. We love hearing what each and every one of you think. And thank you all for tuning in on this long weekend edition, Labor Day edition of the Weekend Report. We're turning the corner into summer. So in the first half of this weekend show, we're going to focus on some seasonality trends, as well as individual markets, getting a more broad look at where we stand post-summer. And in the back half of the show, a little bit more of a focus in the resource sector. We're kicking off the show with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago, also editor of the Lyons Share Pro website, which I will link to in the weekend show posting. Dana, as I said, let's talk seasonality. Summer is now behind us, and quite frankly, it was a pretty boring summer, but at least for broad market investors, it was fairly decent. The broad averages continued to move higher. We did see some rotation of money into a wider range of sectors. How do you now position yourself as we exit summer and move into fall?
Yeah, thanks, Corey. As you mentioned, seasonality, it tends to be either a light headwind or tailwind as far as how much stock we put into that when factoring our investment decisions. But when seasonality does tend to line up, or when it does line up with what our models and our indicators are saying, then we put a little bit more stock into it. And so, as you mentioned, you know, the late summer into fall period tends to be one of the weaker, if not the weakest, time of the year in the equity market. And right now, our models are slightly negative and showing a little bit of downside momentum. So the combination of the typically seasonally weak or soft period in the equity market, together with our indicators, which are a little bit soft, match up and have us positioned fairly defensively right now and getting more defensive into rallies like we've seen over the last few days.
Well, Dana, when you say you're getting more defensive, are you just lightening up positions on the rallies? Are you actually shorting some sectors? Are you moving into defensive sectors for long positions? Maybe unpack that a little bit.
Yeah, combination of most of the above. You know, we are, for the most part, the first thing we want to do is lighten up on positions that may not be working for us as much or have lost relative strength. So we'll be dumping those positions, lightening up on other long positions, and at the same time looking for opportunities to hedge, perhaps, because there are positions that represent longer term relative strength that we want to hold. So we'll add some hedges against those, especially into some key technical resistance, potentially in whatever we're hedging. So we have seen initially some of the large cap averages bounce back and hit some key resistance levels. They are trying to overshoot those levels right now. More importantly, I think we're seeing some of the broader averages, the value lines, the small caps, the mid caps, bouncing up into some key resistance levels right now, which to us is a little bit more important, a little bit more technically relevant than some of the larger cap stuff, which tends to overshoot the S&P. Everyone's got eyes on the S&P, so that average especially tends to overshoot some of the obvious levels on the up and down side. So, but with some of the broader averages hitting resistance, it's a good time, I think, right now to lighten up on some of those positions. Like I said, especially the ones that you want to hold on to anymore, or at least add some hedges for what could be, you know, another bout of rockiness to come, especially during the month of September.
So, Dana, one thing that we have seen that is not uncommon for the market is some of the underperforming sectors do better and some of the outperformers do worst in almost that rotational trade. if you say that you're lightening up on some of those underperformers, when does it come the time to say, oh, maybe things are changing? Maybe I do need to get into some of these underperforming sectors.
Yeah, we might do that for a trade. We like to stick with, you know, some of the longer term relative strength, high relative strength names, and buy those into pullbacks. But certainly, if we see technical setups, at least for a trade, in some of those underperformers, like we saw, you know, in the sell-off we saw in the last week, we saw the broad averages of small and mid caps really lead the way down. But they kind of bottomed first and stopped going down, even as the larger caps ended up playing some catch up to the downside. So you saw those the laggards hit some technical support first. And if you want to take a stab on the long side for a trade, you can, even as those large caps played a little bit of a catch up to the downside. And you saw kind of those broader averages hold support during that catch up to the downside and then stabilized first and have popped since. I don't think they're going to lead the way. Like I mentioned earlier, I don't think they lead the way forward. In fact, I think they lead the way to the downside, or at least the continued lagging and the presence of resistance in those broad averages suggests there's a high likelihood of some further downside. So from a trading perspective, to answer your question in a shorter version, from a trading perspective, we will look for, technical opportunities. But when we're looking to add allocation in the longer term, we'll look to those longer term relative strength names to add, especially at support.
Well, Dana, just to that point, you know, when we were talking last year, a lot of people had shifted from, well, let's even back it up 2 years. 2021 was really about growth stocks over value stocks. 2022, when the markets corrected, investors kind of shifted from that growth speculation mode to more of a defensive posture back into value. This year, it's been a reversal again. Most of this year, it's the ones that were beat up the most, the growth stocks that have rallied the hardest. Now those you point out maybe leading the way down, would that mean you're kind of shifting a little bit more from growth back over to value? Are you looking at things like consumer staples or healthcare, or, you know, when you look at bonds and gold, how does that fit into it, the growth versus value discussion?
Yeah, it's been a little bit of tricky rotation. I think it's a matter of duration, like we've talked about in the past. I think in the longer term, you do have a huge shift from growth to value that could last for probably many years to come. However, in the intermediate term, which is more of a duration that we're typically aligned with our investments, which is like 2 to 6 months or so, you have seen a snapback in the growth areas. Things like technology, which has responded very well this year, and especially in the last several months. So in that time frame, we are more on the growth bandwagon. But once this about runs its course, we do think that value reasserts itself and will be probably the way to go, at least on a relative basis versus growth in the upcoming several years, maybe decade even. So from that perspective, I think you'd rather stick with some of those consumer staples names, maybe healthcare, that type of thing. But in the immediate term, I'd be looking for areas like we talked, I think last time on the show a couple weeks ago. When you're looking for what to buy in, you know, whatever pullback comes over the next month or so, you want to look at names that have been the relative strength leaders of late, things that have teased or hit new all-time highs over the last month or so. Focus on those areas for buying the dip ahead of the next, you know, up leg in whatever up cycle, whatever advance that we do have. I think those areas probably have another good up move. So again, focus on areas that did hit new highs or have tested new highs either in July or, you know, in the current bounce that we're seeing.
Dana, what do you take away from the market too, where the bond market being so critical here with higher yields? I know that you think that bond bull market is over, that multi-decade bull market. But we did see a spike in yields. The 2-year, the 10-year all made it up to some pretty key levels, which means that people have been selling bonds. And when we see yields moving higher, we've also seen kind of weakness in a number of other sectors. So it's an environment where if investors get aggressive, they go into bonds and everything else. And when they get defensive, they've gotten away from almost everything. Have you seen this kind of environment? And does it speak to, I guess, just how closely correlated everything is?
Yeah, I think we're starting to see kind of a shift in maybe investor psychology a little bit. And we touched on this last time where bounces, rises in interest rates, which we've seen over the last several years, have generally coincided with weakness in equity markets and risk assets. We're not seeing that as much, at least according to our work. So we're seeing interest rates, bond yields remain kind of elevated, and other assets doing okay during those periods. So that tells us that kind of, and the Fed would be probably happy with this, but investors kind of getting used to rates not being at zero anymore, getting kind of used to rates can rise and can rise even further and not signal, you know, the end of the world. So that from that standpoint, I think it's probably a good thing and probably backs up, you know, our thesis that we probably do move up in yields for the next several, many years, maybe even decades to come. And things can, you know, other markets can avoid disaster even that during that climate. Now, I think in the long run, I think stocks do have a very difficult time because we're very extended in many metrics and in many longer term metrics. But from a short term perspective, I think it's healthy that we can see bond yields rise and not spark some sort of a panic among investors in all the other markets. So kind of the frog in the boiling water type of scenario that investors kind of getting used to rates not being at zero, which was obviously not a healthy environment and have really produced or added to those excesses that I mentioned before.
Yeah, Dan, it's interesting that the markets have held up as well as they have in the face of the higher rates, because you would think that'd be a pressure. Another sector that's like that, that's usually affected by rates, is gold, the precious metals. And it's held up pretty well, gold, in the face of these rising rates, although it was getting pressured as they kept rising up to those resistance levels. And then since they've rolled over some, has had a little lift. If you expect rates to rise for years to come, what does that mean for precious metals? Can they still go up in that kind of an environment?
Yeah, and I don't see why they can't. They did, you know, before the long post-80s cycle that we saw. Certainly, they can rise together, and we do see that happening again. You know, as we have discussed in the past, we do like to look at each market on its own merits, and I think gold and the precious metals kind of been running their own race here, and it's the race hasn't really gotten them very far. But like you said, the metals have held up pretty well in the face of some rising rates, and that probably bodes well going forward, and perhaps lends credence to what we think will be an eventual breakout or resolution to the upside in the gold market after this multi-year consolidation is over. And I do think we see a substantial new upleg in precious metals, especially in the gold market. And I don't see rising rates affecting that potential at all.
So Dana, can I get you to look at the gold stock chart, something like GDX or GDXJ, and get your insights on that? Because really depends what time frame you're looking at this chart. If you want to go back to September of last year, it's been a nice uptrend. But if you take a long-term chart, well, you can make the argument GDX is kind of trading in the middle of a range. And look, to me, it's a messy chart. So I am very curious to hear what your models, what you see in this chart, how you see it playing out.
Yeah, you know, it has been messy. Basically, on any time frame you look at, it's pretty much gone nowhere. The miners, it's been a frustrating real decade or so for miners. I do think as we do envision a decent new upleg in the gold bull market, I think that will certainly lift the miners or put some upward pressure on the miners. So we are holding an allocation to the gold miners and silver miners. But like you said, in the near term or even intermediate term, we're seeing, you know, basically stuck in the mud right now. So it's hard to get too aggressive, I guess, or and any shorter term time frame. But I think in the long run, a decent allocation of the miners will probably be rewarded, especially if obviously if that bullish scenario for gold does work out. But right now, in the short term, certainly challenged at best, and at worst, or at worst, hitting some key resistance levels in the short term if you're a short term trader. But again, we're holding an allocation a little bit for the longer term, so I do think it does play out for the bulls, at least if not to the degree that it will in the metals, at least to some significant degree in the gold miners, silver miners, in the equity space.
Well, Dana, let's also talk about another commodity that a lot of folks on our site track, and that's oil, the energy space. Oil has done pretty well, all things considered. It's back up above 80, around 83 at the time of this recording. What do you make of the energy space and oil?
Yeah, it's been resilient. We've got no position on really right now. We do think, I guess it's out of harm's way right now. We were playing with a downside bias. It has improved its technical footing to where if we were putting on a position, it would be on the long side. So I guess right now, if you're going to have any, if we were to have any bias or investment position, it would be biased to the long side. I think from an equity perspective, if you look at something like oil services, I think it's even a more potentially rosy scenario. We've seen, you know, after the brilliant year in last year, when other sectors really struggled in 2022, we've seen 2023 after a rough start, we've seen the energy equities hang in there pretty well. And right now, I think oil services especially is, as it consolidates near multi-year highs, is setting itself up for another decent run. So that would be one area that we're looking at when you consider some of that longer term relative strength that we mentioned before. Oil services, what might be one of those positions that you might want to look at for another decent, sizable upleg once this current bout of consolidation is over in the equity market.
Dana, broadly, what about the small cap stock, something like the Russell 2000 here, where it just hasn't bounced as much as the S&P, the NASDAQ, really anything? It's gone a little uptrend, I guess, since bottoming quite a while ago, but again, it hasn't seen the same sort of buying that we've seen in a lot of other markets, or the broad averages at least. What do you see for the small caps? What does that tell you?
Yeah, for sure. It's been a rough go for the small caps and the broader averages, which is why we mentioned earlier. It's had a negative impact on our models, which look at broad internals and breadth and statistics like that. And certainly the lagging of the broad markets is definitely a concern for us in the longer term. You've seen fits and starts in the small caps in the broad space. You know, the first month of the year, you saw the small caps kind of lead the way and then faltered. And then, you know, June, July, you saw a nice resurgence in small caps, but you've seen of late, you've seen them falter again. So right now, I would say in the near term over the next month plus, I think the lagging in the small cap space, in the broad markets, in the breadth related statistics does paint a warning for equity investors in that duration. And in the long term, like I mentioned, focusing on areas that have moved back to new highs, some of the tech space, some of the large cap space, that's where you want to focus on in any, you know, portion of a long portfolio. And again, the lagging in some of those broader averages and the small caps and the mid caps and some of the equal weight averages, which are lagging again, that probably doesn't paint a very healthy picture for the eventual sustainability of any next up leg. So from that perspective, I would say, you know, it's certainly not a positive for the duration of any or durability of any future bounce or uptick in the equities.
All right, Dana, I think that covers it. Thank you, as always, for sharing your thoughts on these wide range of markets. I got to say, man, I really do appreciate how you look at these markets, your time sharing your thoughts, and how accurate you have been for taking some of those medium-term trading strategies and simply letting the markets, letting the data dictate where these markets are going and how you position yourself. So I find all your comments very valuable. Thank you very much for joining us this long weekend. I hope you have a great rest of your long weekend. And everybody, stick around. We're going to be right back to focus a little bit more on the resource sector. Thanks, Dana.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.